Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3. If you'll go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 13 down to verse 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And let's bow before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you, it is a blessing, Father, to be assembled together in your name and to understand the promise that you have given to us, that you would be in our midst. And God, you know what's taken place in each one of our lives. Thank you for what we've already been ministered to by the music and the congregational singing. But now, Father, as we've opened up your holy word, I just pray, God, that you might empower the preaching. Give each one that ear to hear what you have for them to receive. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 15 in the account in the scriptures of the baptism of Christ. Of course, John the Baptist, he was baptizing. Jesus walked 60 miles to show the importance of proper baptism. And then we find that John realized that, boy, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. He's the one I've been preparing and preaching for, preparing the people to receive. And Jesus revealed to him that this was important, that they would do this to have an example for all of Christianity until Christ would return for the church. And he says, let it be so now, for thus it becometh us, John and the Lord Jesus Christ, using John to baptize Jesus, to fulfill all righteousness. I want to preach a message to you this morning. If you want to write it down, it's just the application of righteousness. The application of righteousness. Now, righteousness, just a basic, simple understanding, is that which is right in God's eyes. Amen. To be right and to do right. That's righteousness. First of all, to be right. Understanding the need for righteousness. God's righteousness, not human righteousness. But God's righteousness, to be right and then to do right. As we study the scriptures, we know that man needs to look to biblical righteousness if he wants to be right with God. We have the account of scriptures of the mind of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. I love that. I love that. Because can I tell you that all of us struggle with doing right from time to time? Some struggle with doing right more than others. Certain times in our lives, I believe some of the toughest times, some of the toughest years that we live is our teenage years. And I guarantee you, teenagers, because I can somewhat remember back that far, struggle with doing right. But that struggle never leaves us. If you have a conscience, If you have not seared your conscience, you struggle with doing right. Yeah. Many times we ask ourselves, what is the right thing to do? You're faced with possibly relationship problems. Should I forgive? Should I give a second chance? Should I support them? Should I confront them? Raising children, how should I discipline? What's right in handling this and what's right in handling that? With finances, is it right to file for bankruptcy? Is it right to pay this bill? Is it right to be able to do this and that? And sometimes we have financial situations and we're trying to figure out what's right. What would be right for me to do with the situations and the circumstances that I'm faced with financially? Employment. Is it right for me to stay when I don't agree with the employment, my employer? What's right to do when they want me to sacrifice my life and spend all week long, 7 days a week working, doing this and that? And what's the right thing to do? I need the money. I need this. I got to support the home. I got to support the family. Should I quit? Should I just do it? What's right? Just in life. I mean, there's so many different things that we struggle with in life, and trying to determine what should I do. We need to know this. My right is not right unless it's right with God. That'll help you right there. My right, whatever I think, is not right unless it's right with God. If I want God's help, if I want God's blessings upon my life, then I cannot just do what's right in my own eyes. That's the problem they had in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And they were led astray because we will not make the right decisions if we do not have God to look to. Yeah. Praise God that we have Jesus as our help. That's what he's establishing here. He is establishing his ministry for people to look to. What God has recorded in the scriptures of the life of Christ, it actually is developing right here at his baptism. And then his example for all of us has been recorded in the Bible. And what is right in how we face things in life, we have the example of Christ to look to. I thank God that we have the example of Jesus Christ to look to in the application of righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. First of all, in order to do right, we must first get right with God. He came to give humanity an opportunity to get right with God. And we find here, he tells John the Baptist, he says, "It becometh us." Now, I love that because John was preparing the way for Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 1, this is what John did. The Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We find that John came, and as John was preparing the humanity for the coming of Christ, he said, what you need to do is stop relying on your own thoughts. Stop relying on your own religion. Stop relying on your own works. Stop relying on whatever it is you're relying upon. Repent of that and look back to God and to Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. He has come. That which was promised in the Old Testament of a Savior, of a Messiah, He has come. I'm here to preach Christ. I'm here to let you know that you got to repent of whatever else you're thinking there and turn your thoughts to His thoughts. Turn your plans to His plans. Turn your righteousness to His righteousness. That's what John came to do. And as John established that, then Jesus knew that he would need to be baptized and let John the Baptist baptize him so that people would understand the doctrines that he was going to be presenting to them concerning New Testament Christianity. Everything up to this point, God had prepared to bring them, and everything about the Old Testament and everything to this point was a schoolmaster. It was to prepare and teach, ready for humanity to be ready to receive Jesus Christ and His righteousness for salvation. In order for humanity to be right with God, they need His righteousness. Baptism was symbolic to show the work of Christ in His death, that He would go to the cross of Calvary, in His burial He would die, and His resurrection as God, He would resurrect from the dead. He would pay a sin debt on Calvary's cross, a sin debt that required death. The wages of sin is death. He came to pay your sin debt, to be able to offer you and to give you everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, cleansing, a washing of sins. But you would only be able to have that, not by your righteousness, but through His righteousness. Jesus provides righteousness for man to be saved. If you don't understand that, you can't be saved no matter what kind of a life you live, no matter what kind of religion, no matter what your thoughts. You have to understand that your righteousness is filthy rags. You can't clean them up. You can't be good enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't pay enough to be right with God. Jesus only was righteous. He was the only person to ever walk the face of this earth without committing a sin, without having a sin nature, because his Father was God. Yeah. Romans chapter 10. Let the Lord speak to you this morning. If you're trusting in anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness, you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell. That's just Bible. That's just reality. And you're not making the right decision if you decide to believe in something other than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. To make a decision concerning your eternal security, to make a decision concerning heaven or hell, listen to me, you have to be informed to be able to make the right decision. And the Bible informs us to know that the right decision is for us to choose Christ. In Romans in chapter 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, Israel, Jews, thought that they were already saved just because they were kin to Abraham. But they were not. That's why they persecuted and crucified Christ. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're focused on the wrong things. Do not allow yourself to be focused on the wrong things. So many people today are focused on, as long as my good works outweigh my bad works, how can a loving God send me to hell? God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell. by rejecting Jesus Christ. God loved you enough to send his son to do something that you couldn't do. He paid your sin debt. He died on Calvary's cross. And he offers all humanity a gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Stop thinking it's all about my works. Now, I believe faith leads to works. There's no, don't get me wrong on that. Don't get the Bible wrong on that. Read the book of James, amen? Amen. But you can't think that I can work my way to heaven. You can't think that I can be a member of the church and get to heaven. No matter what church might tell you that, you cannot get to heaven through membership of a church. You cannot get to heaven because you were raised a Christian. You cannot get to heaven because of somebody else's salvation. The only way that any of us can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and his righteousness. It's the only way we can get right with God. That's the only way. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, still going on today in religion, they're turning away from God's righteousness, and they're establishing their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend unto the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh even, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is as simple as it gets. That is exactly what the Bible teaches. That's exactly why Jesus was baptized by John, to identify with the gospel, to fulfill all righteousness, so that he could offer us a gift of everlasting life. Philippians in chapter 3. In Philippians in chapter 3. Let me read just these verses so you can write them down. I might go a little bit faster. I'd rather you listen and write it down. Trust me, I'm reading from the King James. Amen, Bible. Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says in Philippians in 3 and verse 8, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. My own righteousness is going to send me to a devil's hell, no matter how good I think of I am. Which is of the law. That was all about the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul here writes, and let me go back up for just a minute, read verse 8 to you. He says, and doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, my righteousness is not good enough. I need to look to Jesus Christ and his righteousness and put my faith in him. And when you put your faith in him, listen to me, that's when you can be saved. And be right with God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Let me just read this to you. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die.
Humans, because of his sin nature, that sin nature has been passed down to all of us. When you're born with a sin nature. And because you have a sin nature, the wages of sin is death. If you're only born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll only die once. What do you mean, preacher? Well, you got to be born physically, then you got to be born spiritually. If you're born spiritually, you'll never die spiritually. To be absent from the body, there is a physical death, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're only born once, that's a physical death, you're going to die and go to hell. If you have been born twice, if you can go back and say, well, this is my physical birthday, and this is my spiritual birthday, and because I have been born of the Spirit, I have everlasting life, then you'll only die a physical death, and you'll get a glorified body one day. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So we find here that the application of righteousness, first of all, is get right with God. Turn away from your own righteousness and turn to the righteousness. Jesus provides righteousness for salvation. Once he has provided righteousness for salvation, then we're on the right plane and we're on the right track to do right. According to God's right. Doing right according to God's right. Fulfill all righteousness. It was the beginning of him sharing with us and living a life for us to follow after. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. We have the knowledge of God and we have the example of Jesus Christ and we can awake to his righteousness. And it's only through his righteousness that we're not going to sin. Isaiah said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. You cannot have the right thinking by which is going to determine what you do without having his righteousness, his thoughts. That's what's right. So how's that play out, preacher? What is doing right? Jesus established a worship. Jesus established a worship that we might worship him according to his plan. Can I tell you, there's many humanistic plans for worshiping gods. God has one. Jesus established it. John chapter 4. Look at John chapter 4 with me. I want you to read this with me. Can I tell you that Jesus established his church as a place to worship? Amen. There's no other worship outside us through his church. There's just not. Not according to God's righteousness. What's right in God's eyes? It's the church that Jesus established with the doctrines that Jesus established. John chapter 4 and verse 21. Jesus said unto her, woman, believeth me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. You're trying to worship, but you don't have the right knowledge. You don't have the right insight. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What he's saying here is that Christ came of the Jews. The Messiah came. The Messiah that was prophesied in Old Testament, he's come, he's here. Jesus, I'm he. Jesus is the Messiah. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. In this New Testament church age, can I tell you that God wants humanity to worship him? And Jesus is the one that established true worship. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must. There's no other way. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord for that. First thing that we need to understand is, if God's real, then certainly God has given me a way to know him, and God has given me a way to acknowledge him. God has given me a way to bow down and worship him as God, and he has. And Jesus is our example. Once we are right with God, we must do right according to God's right, and that is right worship. He taught on morality. Something that as a nation we established in the United States of America with laws that would support the Bible, would support biblical morality. The framers of our Constitution knew how important serving and worshiping God was. And can I tell you today, we are getting farther and farther away from those principles that allow the blessings of God to be bestowed upon us. Jesus taught on morality. Let me just take you back to a verse here in Mark in chapter 10. Mark in chapter 10, there's much more, but this helps us to understand what we need to understand. Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 6, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." God has created and established creation. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh," two becoming one flesh. "So then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Not only let not man put asunder, let not man change. God establishes morality. If you want the blessings of God, the true, genuine blessings of God, you have to be right with him and do right by him. Yeah. No matter what day and age we're living in. Awake to righteousness and sin not. God's righteousness. Jesus taught on a lifestyle. And his associations. He was a friend of sinners, but he never associated with sin. He would tell the sinners, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He would tell them that were brought to him and got caught in the midst of sin, "Go and sin no more." We can love the lost and do what we can to get them saved, and we should. We are not isolationists. We are to go out into all the world and preach the truths of Christ. Amen. But we are not to be associated with sin. Our appearance ought to be more Christ-like than worldliness. Two things the Bible tells us on our appearance. It's righteous. But the reality is, in whatever generation, whatever lifestyle, whatever society you're living in, make sure that people know that you're a man, if you're a man. And make sure that people know that you're a woman, if you're a woman. I think we have seen what happens when that doesn't take place. And what kind of message it sends young people to determine how they're going to live their lives. That's appearance. Language. The language will identify you with what you believe and how you live. Yeah. Our attitudes. He gave us the Beatitudes as an example. of the attitude that we ought to have. Amen. Yeah. John 13:35, it says this. Let me just read it to you. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Lifestyle, associations, appearance, language, attitude. By these things is what he's presenting to them. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He set an example. All of this is to be done in love. A desire to bring people to a right understanding of who God is and what he has established as righteousness. In closing, our text, after Jesus would say he was come to fulfill all righteousness, the Bible says in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this was a message from God the Father for all of us today to take heed to. This is my beloved Son, his only begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is only and always pleased with righteousness. Jesus came to fulfill it, to be right and to do right. Thank God that we have Christ to look to. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. To be right. That's where it starts. You will not be able to continue to do right unless you are right with God, because you do not have his righteousness. Without his righteousness, you will not be able to continue to do right. If you have his righteousness, and you can look back to a point in time where you were born twice. A second birth is a spiritual birth, the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you do not have a second birth, today can be that day. A person has to come to the place to realize, without Christ, I'm lost and I'm on my way to a devil's hell. I believe that Jesus paid my sin debt, and I want to receive the gift that he has to offer me. If you receive that gift, you have been born again. You can be born again today. And once you have been born again, then you have been equipped to then start applying righteousness to your life and start doing right according to God's word. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truths of your word and for Jesus and him fulfilling all righteousness for us to look to. I pray this morning, God, as I have preached, I believe exactly what you would have me to preach. I pray, God, that you would help each one to receive it and then make whatever decisions that they might need to make. Work in the midst of this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.